From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is in India, where she is expected later today to sign an agreement that will pave the way for big arms deals. But first, she did a bit of public diplomacy. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
Before her formal talks got underway, Secretary Clinton spoke to students at Delhi University about how she's hoping for much broader and deeper ties in areas ranging from security to fighting hunger and climate change. She and her Indian counterpart are expected to sign what's called an end-use monitoring agreement to make sure that if the U.S. sells sophisticated weapons to India, they will be used for their intended purposes and the technology won't be leaked to others. That would pave the way for big business deals for companies like Boeing and Lockheed Martin. The U.S. is also hoping India will announce two sites where U.S. companies will have the exclusive rights to build nuclear power plants. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, New Delhi.
California will have to wait until at least later today for a state budget as Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger abruptly canceled a meeting with legislative leaders that was scheduled for last night. Bob Hensley of Capital Public Radio reports.
Since they emerged from a meeting late Friday night, Governor Schwarzenegger and the top Democrats and Republicans in the state assembly and Senate indicated that a budget agreement was likely during the meeting scheduled for Sunday evening. A spokesman for the governor attributed the cancellation to what he termed a scheduling snafu. The spokesman said the meeting has been rescheduled for late Monday morning. California hasn't had a budget since the first of the month and is currently facing a $26 billion deficit. The governor and Democrats have been deadlocked over the state's education appropriation for grades K through 12. Since Friday's meeting, numerous media outlets have reported that a compromise was at hand. Officials say with each passing day there isn't a balanced budget in place, the state's financial situation worsens. For NPR News, I'm Bob Hensley in Modesto, California.
The astronauts who first landed on the moon are not dwelling on their small lunar steps. Instead, they're calling for a giant leap to Mars. In one of their first joint public appearances, the crew of Apollo 11 got together at the National Air and Space Museum in Washington last night for an event commemorating their trip to the moon. It was 40 years ago today that Neil Armstrong became the first man to set foot on the lunar surface. But the crew members did not go nostalgic. They spoke instead about the future. The second man on the moon, Buzz Aldrin, said the best way to honor the Apollo 11 crew would be to follow in their footsteps and aim for Mars. Apollo 11 Command Module pilot Michael Collins said the moon was not interesting, but Mars is. The three go to the White House today to meet with President Obama. Oil prices rose above $64 a barrel in Asian trading today. Benchmark crude for August delivery rose by 83 cents to $64.39 a barrel. This is NPR News. The writer Frank McCourt has died. He was 78. He had been battling cancer and seemed to be doing well, but then came down with meningitis. McCourt wrote three popular memoirs, including his first, Angela's Ashes, which won a Pulitzer Prize in 1997. NPR's Lynn Neary reports.
McCourt was 66 years old when his writing brought him worldwide fame and fortune. Angela's Ashes, the story of his impoverished childhood in Ireland, was a huge bestseller and later was made into a movie. When it was published, reviewers noted the absence of self-pity in McCourt's account of his childhood. He leavened the bitterness with both humor and compassion, making the story accessible to readers who embraced it overwhelmingly. Though he was raised in Ireland, McCourt was born in this country, and he returned here at the age of 19 and became a teacher. He wrote about his life in America in his memoirs Tiz and Teacher Man. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.
Obama administration officials are defending President Obama's broad health care proposals. They're urging the public not to judge the Democrats' overhaul until Congress writes a final version. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius called it a work in progress. She and other officials made the case on the Sunday talk shows. Paying for the health care plan remains the major challenge. A nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office report says emerging House legislation would increase deficits by $239 billion over a decade. Democrats insist the budget analysis ignored savings that would happen by overhauling the current system. For now, the U.S. remains the only developed nation that does not have a comprehensive national health care plan. I'm Carl Castle, NPR News.